Welcome to the Crossroad Off-Road, Minnesota's premier and only off-road podcast, brought to you by Motors & More Jeeps in Brainerd, Minnesota. Hey gang, thanks for checking out the Crossroad Off-Road podcast. This is a big week, I think, for off-roaders. I know we're a Jeep heavy podcast because that's what I drive, and I'm sponsored by a used Jeep dealership. But this is a big week because Ford has come out with the Bronco. And this will be the first time for a long time that the Jeep had a direct competitor. Looks like it's, from the reports I see, it's probably going to have a removable top, removable doors-ish, and some other great features. I've listened to a lot of things, read a lot of different things. So if you had your head in the sand, I'll give you a few highlights I think are coming. But by the time you listen to this, you can probably check it out online. But if you're a Monday morning listener, here's what you should be excited about, I think, is going to happen. They are going to have a removable roof. It's going to be a two- or four-door. We're not going to worry about the Jeeps or a Bronco Sport because that's kind of a crossover deal. We're talking about the main Bronco line, the two big ones, the four-door and the two-door. So removable doors and top, but the doors are going to be interesting. They're actually going to be removable door skins is what the patent is about. So it's basically going to be, you can take the outer door and the inner door off, but there's going to be a bar across. So it's basically going to have like a feature like you can buy those bar doors. You know, I don't know what else to call them, but they just look like tube doors, I guess is the word for it. So I think that's what Ford is trying to patent, is that deal with those guys. Other things they're going to have, I think it's going to be a independent front suspension. I could be wrong. But they have disconnectable sway bars, so they can kind of get a little more action out of them. They're also going to have a point where if you're off-road, you can have it where if you're turning sharp and you push a button, it'll kind of put brakes on the inside wheels. All you farm kids out there know what that's about, because when you're in the field and you need to turn sharp, you crank the wheel, hit the inside brake, and you could have a zero-turn tractor. Any tractor out there almost could be almost a zero-turn and just spin right on a spot. So Jeep obviously can't go to that level just because weight bias. When you have an implement on the back of a tractor, you change the weight, the front's real light, and you can just hit the brake and it spins right around. It's pretty cool. If you're not a farm kid, you never experienced that. But in the end, Jeep's going to have an idea where they can turn sharper around a corner. So that'd be a cool advantage. Lockable front and rear diffs. That was another thing that was on there. There's some other cool features, but that's the kind of main ones. They're pretty innovative. Having that Bronco have those type of features and having a competitor should push Jeep to do bigger things. Having competition is a key point in making yourself better. If you just had no competition today and you're always just number one, you never try harder. I think Jeep, you know, tried harder-ish, but they didn't have to innovate too much to kind of keep their base. We have, you know, us Jeepers are pretty excited about our Jeeps, and we'll probably buy a bunch of them for many years because we think they're cool. But having some innovation from a competitor pushes the prime up. So it pushes, it raises, you know, high tides raise all boats is one of the phrases I've heard over the years. And so this will bring up everybody. And also, if it's at a competitive price, it could bring down a price or kind of normalize the price of a Jeep. So we'll see if that happens. I'm not sure if it will, because, you know, Jeeps are what they are. They're pretty awesome. But in the end, I'm pretty excited to see the Bronco happen. Two of my college friends actually had classic Broncos. If they knew how much the price would go up in those, they probably wouldn't have been driving them year-round. But one of them had a rebuilt red one with a 289 in it. I think the other guy had a 289 in it also. And it was built up unbelievably. They both look great. And they were driving on college campuses. I don't understand how they did it, but that was their college car. It was pretty amazing. And they were like 60s, early 70s Broncos. And I think the Jeep, or the new Bronco, I should say, is going to look like those early ones, not the Bronco 2, not the big Bronco, the OG Bronco look. So it's not going to look like that. It's going to be the smaller version, which is directly competitor to our Jeeps. So I'm pretty excited about it. The word is you'll be able to get a 37 with minimal work, 35 to 37 minimal work on there for tire. We'll see if that happens. I think stock, I bet it comes with 33. Stock, there's probably going to be like a R variant, which is like your Rubicon type of thing. So they're going to have the base model, but they're going to have a, a top-end variant that's going to have a lot more pieces to it, a lot more off-road goodies to it. Motor-wise, what I've been reading is the 2.7. I'm kind of thinking they're going to go with a 2.3. That's just me. But if they go 2.7, V6, 3.25 horse, 380 foot-pounds of torque, I think that's a lot of motor for that, but maybe Jeep just hasn't put a big enough motor in. That leads me to another point I'll be talking about in a second here. But the but that's a big motor. The 2.6, I mean, the 2.7, I should say, the 2.3 seems like they can get 315 horse out of that and 345 torque, I think I read somewhere. I think there's an upgrade on the Ranger that they've done that you can get this, like, just changing the tuning a little bit, and they bring it up to that point. That 2.3, that four-cylinder just sounds like, you know, it's nice and light. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I thought that's where they would go. But if they go with 2.7, wow, that's going to be quite the motor for that rig. And that's going to push Jeep to do something different around their, you know, 285 horse, whatever they're running, the Pentastar. So it's kind of interesting to see where they're going to go with the motor piece. I'm excited to see that happen. This is all fun to me, for me to watch. It's just interesting as heck to kind of see what's coming out. So I'm excited for tomorrow. Let's just put it that way. I'm excited to watch online or wherever they have it. It's probably going to be tomorrow night. So I'm going to tune in and check it all out, see who's right, see who's wrong. It'd be interesting to me. Another thing that Jeep has been teasing is it was on their official page, I want to say, but it's been all over the internet. Maybe it's an April Fool's-ish joke, but they show a Jeep front end. It could be a Gladiator, but I'm pretty sure it's the Wrangler. But it has 392 on the hood. And 392, I believe, is this, you know, one of the Hemi motors. I don't know if it's 6.2 or 6.4. I think it's 6.4. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But, you know, who knows? This is just something that's on there. It's been all over the internet if you haven't seen it. But that would mean that they have OE V8 coming in a Wrangler or a Rubicon or a Gladiator. So we'll see if that actually happens. With the world of gas and where we're at now, I'm not sure about that, but it is what it is. We'll see if that actually comes true. They're probably just trying to steal some thunder from Ford, too. You know, the big three like to do that. They like to kind of post some other stuff, make some announcements. So maybe look for a little mini announcement tomorrow. I know I did see online the Gladiator's coming out with the diesel. You know, it says, "You asked, we listened," or something like that. So they're trying to steal the thunder a little bit from Bronco and Ford. So that's going to be interesting. Bronco's kind of like also going to be its own line, as Mustang's going to be its own line, much like what, you know, Jeep is its own line, you could say. But more so, what was the other one that was kind of like that? I forget. But they give an example. But in the end, Bronco is going to be its own line, as will Mustang. So they're going to be different variants. That's where you're going to see three different Broncos coming out tomorrow, with the four-door, two-door, and the Bronco Sport, which is going to be crossover. It's just going to be a Bronco name only, as far as I know. I'm not excited about that one at all. But the Mustang has their top line, their Mustang E, their electric Mustang. They're going to have a couple different things. And so they're definitely good on that line of having their own brands and sub-brands, I guess you could say. So it'll be an interesting day tomorrow. The reason I'm telling you all this is just, I think it's exciting. So check it out. Today, I have on the podcast, a guy named Kirk, goes by Rossi, and he has a great Facebook page called 7 Slot Posse, and he has a great Jeep. We kind of detail all about that Jeep in this episode, and he has a very rare 1945 CJ2A that has a Corvette motor in it. So take a listen. I think it's a great build. We initially talked for about 45 minutes on the phone, and then we couldn't talk for 2 weeks because he was very busy with some other stuff. And so I should have just recorded our original conversation, but we talked for another 50 minutes again, and recorded this time, so I hope you enjoy it. Again, his name is Kirk, and he has a great Jeep. And if you're looking for a used Jeep out there, Motors & More Jeep in Brainerd, Minnesota, check out their website, mnmjeeps.com. They're your source for a great used Jeep that you might be looking for, and check them out. Here is Kirk with his story.
Hey, gang, welcome to Crossroad Off-Road Podcast. I am an enthusiast about off-roading, and I have another enthusiast. His name is Rossi. So welcome, Rossi, to the podcast.
Hello, Mitch. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So a lot of you guys might have seen Rossi's stuff up on the internet lately, and it's kind of really blown up, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to have him on. So I kind of contacted him through all the powers that would be, through internet and Facebook and all other good stuff. And he has a group called the Seven Slot Posse, and I wanted to get him on to hear more about it because it seems like he's in a lot of different places. Happened to see his Jeep at one of the first kind of Jeep parades this year. I waved at him real quick, and now I got him on my podcast. So welcome, Kirk, and tell us a bit about your group and how it all began and why you started it.
Well, thanks, Mitch. It really started with my love of Jeeps, I guess, obviously before there was the internet. My dad and grandfather and great-grandfather all had Jeeps, Jeep trucks, Cherokees, CJ5s, Wagoneers. I remember plowing with my grandpa as a kid, and everywhere we went, whether it was hunting or away for the weekend or camping, it was in a Jeep. So I don't think we had any other vehicles other than maybe my mom's Pontiac 6000 that I remember that had any value to me from a memory standpoint. So as I got older, you know, I got into Jeeps and even when I was young, they were just passionate for me. And so when I built my Jeep years ago, I started to, you know, meet the Jeep community and to really understand what it meant to be a Jeeper. And Ted Parrish, who is my neighbor and used to be a good off-roading buddy, he's the one that helped me kind of build Little Beastie, my Jeep. And where the name Seven Slots Posse came from is, we all know that obviously there's no discriminating against the number of slots that a Jeep has, but Jeep settled on seven. And Ted used to always talk about, I'm going off-roading with my posse this weekend. And that was his friend. So if you go to Seven Slots Posse, it's just Seven Slots Posse on Facebook, you're welcome to join. I'm the founder and admin there. I'll approve you. But really, the seven slots, you know, the iconic front end of a Jeep, and Ted mentioning the posse to me all the time and including me in the off-roading and the mudding in Wisconsin and some of the private land we used to go to. That's kind of where I came up with the name. So when you go to the header page, if you look at the photograph that kind of welcomes you, if you look, there's a woman strapped in the right side in harness, and Ted is talking to his buddies. And some of those guys, I believe, were some of the original founders of Park Jeep, you know, they used to race Jeeps every weekend back in the 70s and 80s. So really the page is a tribute to Ted as well, because he's a former Marine and we really have a heart for veterans. So that's kind of where the page was founded. I guess the reason I found it is because I have 5,000 Jeep friends on Rossi's Willis, which is my personal page, Rossi's Willis. And I can't have any more than 5,000 friends. So I kept getting so many invites to say, hey, I want to connect with you, but I can't, you know, it says that you're out of friends. So I started Seven Slots Posse back March 4th, and I think we're up to around 3,400 members on there. So it is growing fast. And really the whole theme of the page is Jeep-centric. Mm-hmm. There's no drama. There's no criticizing each other's rigs. There's no getting down on each other's builds, whether you're driving a stock Jeep or a Cherokee or, you know, Grand Cherokee, whatever it is. If you're a Jeep lover, you know, even if you're not a Jeep lover and you love veterans and you love camaraderie and you love community, you love to talk about life and family, you know, that's what we're all about. We're all about lifting each other up. And the whole theme is being bigger than oneself. And that's why we try to give. We give veterans blankets with the Seven Slots Posse logo on it. We do decals. Every bit of money that I can raise from the sale of those items goes to donating blankets. So we do sell some blankets and sell some decals, and then all the profits go to financing the gifting and the giving of the blankets. So, we also give to kids with cancer. We have a few members that have had some kids with Hodgkin's disease and some different challenges health-wise. So, you know, the heart of the page is, you know, try to give back try to pay it forward from the Jeep community. Because I think sometimes, you know, Jeep off-roading, you know, Jeep, you know, we kind of get labeled as crazies about our Jeeps and maybe, you know, get labeled that we, you know, run all over public lands. And I think sometimes, you know, the Jeep community gets looked at maybe sideways. And I've been nothing but, I mean, I knew what the Jeep community was about and how great Jeep members are and Jeep people are in general. But I was floored in a down economy with a COVID virus, with people losing their jobs. I was just absolutely floored with some of the donations and help that we've gotten to support our cause, almost to tears. I mean, it was pretty amazing to me. So that's kind of it in a nutshell about the page. It's a fun page. We do some fun memes. We pick on the Prius, sorry. But that's about it. But, you know, we just have fun. And you know, I've gotten to meet some people that I feel like I've known for years. And the goal someday would be to have a posse Woodstock kind of deal where we would meet somewhere in the United States and you know, maybe we would do a big drone flyover like we did with the word Jeep, with the word posse. And, you know, I'd love to get 500 or 1,000 members to come to a Wheeling area in the country and get to meet each other face to face. So so that's pretty much it about the posse.
Well, that's awesome. So you got 3,400 on the new page, and some of them might cross over from the other page, I'm guessing. But you could probably safely say you got 5,000 or 6,000, 7,000 unique people following you. And I think one of the reasons they're following too is obviously it's fun to kind of look at Jeeps and kind of see Jeeps and kind of the memes you're talking about. Fun to follow those deals. But your Jeep is a bit of a rare one. I want to go over that one. It's rare to you because sure. It's the only one you got that means that much to you. When we talked on the phone earlier, you told me about the build out. I'm like, I want to share that with other people. But yours is a 1945, and they didn't make too many of them that year. Is that right?
Correct. In the first model year after World War II, they made 1,824 CJ2As, civilian Jeep model, obviously. And you can still see remnants of the war. If you look at the side, you can see the shovel slats that are in the driver's side. But basically found that body, the tub, in a California farm field when I was out there on business, and drove up in a sport coat and asked this farmer if I could take a look at that Jeep. And he goes, well, that's not mine. It's the neighbor's down the road. So I drove over, and he was willing to let me look at it. Asked me what I was selling first, and I said, well, I'm looking to buy, actually. And told him about the Jeep out there, and he drove out there with me, and we looked at it. Obviously, no Google, no internet at the time, but I knew enough about Jeeps to know that they started with model number 10,000, and this was serial number 10296. So I knew it was within the first 300 Jeeps that rolled off the line. It didn't have a windshield. It didn't have tires. It didn't have axles. It didn't have a motor. It was just sitting in the grass. But no Minnesota rust, which was nice. And, you know, so I decided to I didn't have a cell phone, so I decided to go and get money and buy it and tell my wife about it later, which you can always ask for forgiveness, right? And I told her I bought a Jeep, and she was asking me about it. And I said, well, it's not really a Jeep. It's pretty much the remnants of a Jeep. So, you know, my grandfather, my dad, Ted, all had parts in, you know, pieces and contributions in helping it and make it. And I'll talk about that here in a second. But really, I think I paid $550 for the Jeep. And
so you're just driving by and you saw it? Is that it?
Just driving by, and I actually just saw the hood sticking through the grass because it had no windshield. So luckily I'm a bow hunter, so I tend to look for that thing that's horizontal. You know what I mean? Mitch knows what I'm talking about. And you pick up something horizontal, and I picked up the line of the top of the Jeep. And what was funny about it is, if you know the old CJ model, it's got a toolbox underneath the passenger seat. And the seats were pretty roached out. The original frames were in there. And I asked him if he had the serial plates on it. He goes, yeah, I think they're in that toolbox somewhere. But be careful, there's been a raccoon living in there. And so I lifted it up. And sure enough, there was lots of raccoon droppings in there. But they were in a little envelope. And And that was kind of cool. So then the debate came, do we restore this back to, you know, CJ2A 1945 specs? And I didn't have a lot of money. I was, you know, married with small kids, and you know, we do have a 1948 CJ2A that my dad and I own together. It's a yellow one, and it's restored to bone stock. But I always felt in my heart that it would never be fully as it rolled off the assembly line. I would have always had to, you know, get a different motor and the windshield and tires, and it would have cost me a lot. So I decided to make it something that kind of a family affair, I call it. And it was a beast to build. I was not the brains behind it. I will not take any credit for it. Ted and my dad and my grandfather, you know, contributed from the engineering standpoint, the build. eBay, you know, I found a lot of parts over time off the internet, little pieces and parts to a, you know, CJ2A that I needed. And, you know, over 20 years, it's finally come together. But what's nice about this Jeep is that it has my dad's CJ5 running gear and a lot of components from that. It has my grandpa's M38 windshield on it. And it's got my uncle's 1974 350 short block Chevy from his Corvette. And we had that gone through. So it is a little bit too much motor for a small CJ2A, but I told Mitch it's like driving a shopping cart down the road really fast in the wind. And so it's a lot of fun. It's therapy, you know, to hear that 350 going down the road. So that's kind of it, you know, not to bore you long and about the story of the Jeep, but that's kind of the way it went. The 1948 CJ2A we have, we actually bought off eBay, you know, and Dad and I have probably put more money into that, you know, buying it off eBay than we did, you know, putting the time and money into my Jeep. But it was still fun, and we enjoyed putting his together as well. So those are the two Jeeps that we have in the family.
Yeah, and your Jeep is a little bit of a kind of a cover girl, or a cover Jeep, I should say, where it's on a lot of your blankets and towels that you're...
That's a great point. I was a graphic designer when I came out of college, and I put the logo together, and what I wanted to do was, you know, with Seven Slots Posse, I wanted to create a patriotic look, so I did a furrowing flag going through the Jeep. If you look closely, you can see the Statue of Liberty rising up out of the Stars and the Stripes field. You can see her, you know, standing tall. And, you know, veterans, my grandfather and dad both served in Vietnam and World War II. So, you know, I wanted to tribute the Jeep to them, or the logo to them, with their service to our country, incorporate the Jeep body, which is my Jeep, and then the Seven Slots Posse, obviously, is a tribute to Ted, who served in Vietnam and in the Marines. So, you know, there is a lot behind the logo. It may seem like, you know, just a normal logo, but there's a lot of heart, I guess, you know, family and Jeep community within that logo. Mm-hmm. And that's why the Seven Slots Posse logo is what it is. Oh, thanks.
I'm looking at it right now. That's what I keep looking at. I'm just looking at your page as we're talking.
Awesome.
And your Jeep is a really bright red. Is that just plain red, or is it like
I think
red?
It's I want to say, man, it's been like 21 years since we painted the tub, and I want to say it's a firecracker red or a Ford red. In fact, I think it was an old Ford red. Not quite a fire engine. It's got a little bit more of a red, bright red to it. But yeah,
I was actually watching a, he's one of those YouTube guys that builds big trucks. And so I watch plenty of those because that's entertaining to me. And he said, yeah, don't, if you're going to try to get a lot of views, don't make a boring color out of it. So he had like mint green. All the stuff was like mint green or orange, you know, something that really pops. And this red pops. You know, I have black, you know, but
yeah.
I like black because all the aftermarket parts match. It's just,
right.
It's just
well,
black.
Exactly. Well, and black and red was kind of the, is, Marine Corps colors too. So, you know, just from the logo standpoint, that's kind of why I went with the black and the red, you know, to honor my dad's service. But I did a poll on my page just to find out what are the most popular Jeep colors, and white and black are number one and number two, like right there. And red was number three. And I want to say blue, and then your yellow. And don't forget about Dune. My members will tell you that Dune is a popular color, and I could not believe how many Dune Jeeps we had pop up on the page. Dune is kind of a sand. Yeah, it's okay. Kind of a tan sand color, and it's got its own look to it. But it's pretty neat. We've got a lot of pretty awesome rigs on Seven Slots Posse that the members share. And we do everything like everybody else. We have the front end Friday, side shot Saturday. You know, Willie's Wednesday, I think I just put up this morning. And, yep, you know, we like, and by the way, Willie's is appropriate. If you want to say Willie's, that's what the veterans called it, but it's actually Willis. You know, my grandfather used to correct me on that all the time, that the founder, his name was Willis, not Willie's. So, but either way is proper. So,
oh, that was a question I had, actually, because I heard it both ways. I'm like, well, I've been saying Willie's the whole time, but if I want to be hardcore, I would go Willis, I guess. Huh?
I catch myself all the time saying Willie's because it's just, you know, I think the veterans, it's just more fun. But the actual, I believe, unless I'm wrong, I believe that the original Willis, that's how it was pronounced, not yeah. Willie's. So, but, you know, I think Willie's is a lot funner, so.
Is your rig, is it a stick shift or an auto? I can't remember if you told me that or not.
It is a manual, 4-speed. So
does it wind out pretty good when you get to 60 miles an hour, or is it?
I think I had it up to 68 miles an hour once going down I-35, and that was, you know, she got a little greasy, and I don't think I've ever had it up over 60 miles an hour. It cruises really, really nice at 58 to 60 miles an hour down the road. And you know, it's a little tough to steer off road because I've got no heat, no air, no power steering, a little lurchy with a 350 Corvette, you know, so rock crawling, you know, just turning with four-wheel drive. I've tried it, and it's a little tough. You know, I got good arm strength because of it. I got no check engine light. That is one nice thing about a CJ2A. I crawl under that bugger and check all the fluids, and, you know, obviously, by the way, leaks are okay in a CJ2A because it's just the Jeep, you know, dripping a little testosterone out of it. It's and especially when it gets warm, they leak a little more. So, you know, there's nothing to be worried about. But
and it's a CJ, is it CJ frame? CJ5, I should say?
Yes.
Or, yeah,
CJ5. Yep, frame. CJ5 and running gear from that. And then the biggest, I can't show it, but one of the biggest challenges and why I call her a little beastie is, number one, she's a little tough to drive, but she was kind of a beast to build. One of the things that Ted swore a lot, and we don't swear on here because Mitch told me we don't swear, and I don't swear. Well, sometimes I do when I hit my thumb, or when we're working on our Jeeps, maybe we say a bad word. But, you know, I remember Ted, you know, saying, you know, with a 350 short block, we're going to have to build a housing and a strong cross member bar to hold that big engine in this little Jeep. Otherwise it's going to, you know, it's going to tear it apart. So, you know, he was very instrumental on knowing, you know, where we needed welds and where we needed to cradle that engine, and, you know, with the drivetrain and everything. And so he was, I can't say enough good things about him, just guiding me and swearing at me and calling me a dummy sometimes about, you know, the ideas I had. And then my grandfather and dad, obviously, you know, were a big part of it too. So, but awesome. Anyway, kind of awesome. Went off on a tangent there, but.
Oh, no problem. Do you take it off-road a lot or every now and again?
I used to. When Ted was alive, we used to go to Wisconsin and used to do some mudding with him. When he died a few years back, I didn't really take a hiatus from the hobby, but I kind of lost my trail buddy. And my dad and I will go up near Cotton, Minnesota, and near Cloquet, where we hunt. for deer and bear, and you know, we'll take a lot of the trails. You know, whenever I can find I do a lot of mud and just overlanding. I don't really go into the rock crawling anymore. Although Moab, we were talking earlier, would be sure fun to take her out there. It's not a long distance vehicle to drive in, that's for sure, with my back and knee. It's you know, I definitely have to trailer it, you know, to get it out.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that. Do you drive it up north or you trail it up there then?
I have drove it up north. You know, she's got a little bladder, so, you know, with that, I do have a spare. We did put a spare gas tank in the back, but I think I can't remember what the gallon capacity is on that little tank underneath my seat. But that's a little scary in itself, you know, just the fact that all your gas is literally six inches from your butt the whole time. but you know, I suppose if I got in a wreck, I wouldn't be around long. But yeah, she's got a small bladder, so you know, there's always a couple of jerry cans in the back ready to fill me up, and I burn non-oxygenated in it all the time. So
yeah, I got into that too. If it's gonna be part, I actually put that in my daily driver because I only fill it up I think twice since March.
So I just
put that in my daily because I'm like, well, that's just gonna sit there now because I'm gonna be driving the Jeep. But then
well, and there it's been reasonable too. I mean, fleet, I think it's $269, you know, so reasonably priced with the everything that's going on lately. But Tad used to, real quick, funny story. If you don't use non-oxygenated in all of your trimmers and your mowers and your snow blowers and your pressure washers, you should. Because it's just, Ted used to have neighbors come over and I can't get this thing to start, Ted. And he'd go over and he had a little squirt oil can and it was full of non-oxygenated gas and he'd squirt a little bit in the carburetor and pop right off. And he always called it his magic juice. So that was his secret, was non-oxygenated gas.
I think I talked about that early on an earlier episode because I was having trouble with my snowblower and it hasn't snowed that much over the last few years.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there with the snowblower's not running right. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to change the oil. And I talked to the guy at the hardware store. He told me about the gas thing. So I drained the oil out, put the new oil in, and I had to order a new muffler. That's what really got me into like tearing it all apart. The muffler like broke off. And so he told me about the non-oxy. So I changed it all up, got the oil changed, and didn't snow the rest of the year.
Go figure. That's the way it works.
So I got this snowblower ready to roll. And so that's kind of how this winter I actually just switched over to non-oxy for my vehicles that tend to sit. So,
but
if I'm going on a long road trip, yeah, I'll just throw regular in because it's going to burn right through it. But like my pickup sat, I don't know, it was 2-3 weeks. It didn't move at all. I'm like, well, why should I drive the truck anyhow? It's nice out.
Right.
And then this winter, obviously, when the Jeep's going to sit a bit more, I'll put the non-oxy in there. And I think I just put that in there anyhow, just because it's just going to run better for me and last a lot longer. So there's your little tech tip of the day.
For sure. Now the people that the oil companies will be happy with us. We gave them a good plug, right?
Yeah. It's just to take care of your toys a little bit there.
Absolutely.
So do you have plans? Like you mentioned, I've mentioned this podcast, my goal of this whole thing is to get to Moab. Do you have some big goals like that yourself, some off-roading trip?
I do. One of the things I really want to do is, and this goes back to the centric, veteran-centric part of the page. It's not all that we're about as veterans, but we do obviously want to honor our men and women in service. And, you know, Red Friday, which is remembering everyone deployed, is something we always have on the page. Whether you're active duty or your former military, you know, or first responders, you know, obviously we police and fire and EMTs and everybody that helps our nation in times of need is near and dear to my heart. But what I really would like to do is get 21 Jeepers, you know, from the cities you're invited, and do a 21 Jeep salute and basically take 21 Jeeps. It could be more, it could be less, but I think, you know, you got the 21 gun salute that honors veterans, and I'd love to get 21 Jeeps together and 21 veterans and take 21 veterans out for a ride. You know, the tough part is there's not a lot of great trail riding right here near the metro. You got to go to Gilbert or you got to go to other parts. But I've had some people in Kentucky that have offered their land, 600 acres, to do this. So I may be going down to Kentucky, you know, to honor some veterans down there with a bunch of, because I do have a lot of members that are in the Southeast as well. I mean, they're all over the country, but I've got a good contingency down there that are pretty well connected in the Southeast part of the country. And, you know, we might do a luncheon and do some off-roading. You know, some, there's some great creek. I think there's a place called the Dirty Turtle down in Kentucky that's pretty amazing, I guess. And we've talked about having maybe a barbecue and giving each veteran a blanket, take them out for the day, and getting them out of their, you know, the life that they're living right now, and help them, you know, just get out and enjoy the great outdoors and kind of what the Jeep community brings, that camaraderie and that friendship.
Yeah, we were so talking about that before, kind of camaraderie, how Jeep people are together and have a great time together. This would be a fun thing. So I know it sounds like you're in a planning or the idea stage behind the ideation piece on it, but yeah, keep me posted on it.
Well, I will. And you know, I look at what Dustin Haymauer, I know you know Dustin, you know, just putting together the Jeep groups that for the COVID and the birthday runs during this tough time that our nation faced. I think that just is a testament of, you know, I was part of both of those, and I was honored that Dustin invited me and you know, to be out there with all those hundreds of Jeep partners and friends was, you know, you didn't know a lot of the people that were in the group, but you felt the sense of, you know, you felt a sense of camaraderie and patriotism and American values. And, you know, we did something similar. I don't know if you guys have heard the Yellow Ribbon community in Lakeville here. Lindy Keys, I think is her last name. She called me on a Thursday and said, hey, you know, there's a Navy veteran that's dying of cancer. And his daughter, Diane, is looking at doing some sort of a parade. And I said, well, when do you need to do the parade? And she said, well, we're looking at tomorrow. And I'm like, wow. Well, so I reached out to Dustin, and he said I'd have a tough time, you know, getting something together that quick. And I said, I know I'm kind of facing the same thing. But I put out, you know, on my page and Rossi's Willis and to Twin Cities Jeep Group and South Metro Jeep Enthusiasts, just to give them a shout out. And we had, I want to say 50 Jeepers show up, and then there was a bunch of different vehicles and cars that came as well. They had an honor guard that showed up, and a band, and Alan was honored. He was there. He was sitting alongside the road. He had brain cancer, and he was, you know, brought to tears. And I think they even had a plane do a flyover and did a smoke ring over his house. Some pilot in a red, white, and blue plane. I don't know his name, but shout out to him for being willing to do that for him. And that all came together within, and I can't take credit for it. It's all different people came together to make this happen. But, you know, it was on Channel 5 News, I think, you know, and I guess, you know, those are the kind of stories and things that we all need right now, you know, just as a country. And the fact that it all came together within less than 24 hours and made the Minneapolis news is pretty amazing. So yeah,
that is awesome. I'm glad you did that. And that's just a testament to how Facebook groups or groups in general, how they can be good.
They get
some bad press, but they can do some really good things just because if you have your things you're into and you have the groups you're into, and oh, there's an event or there's a good cause that can be a part of, you jump in and do it. I love it. I mean, that's what it's all about, is on the positive side of things. And so I'm glad you're able to do that. That's awesome.
Well, and I will say too that our group, and I'm part of like 80 different Jeep groups, and I think a lot of them are no drama, no politics. That's one thing that my pride our members on, is that, you know, we're not into, you know, we're not a dating site. I know that there's a lot of great Jeep girls out there and Jeep guys that probably want to get together. There is a site for that. but we're not a dating Jeep site, but we are, you know, we're about no politics. We don't care what side of the aisle you're from. We don't care what your religion is. You know, our religion is Jeeps and each other and friendship and family. And we don't believe in all that stuff. So the moment it comes, if it does, I think in 4 months of just having the page up, 3,500 members roughly, it's, I think I've maybe had to take down a couple posts. So I don't want to say it's self-medicated, but people know the culture, and we call it a culture of care, and bigger than oneself. We're not in, you know, we're not into boasting about ourselves, and we're just there to lift each other up. And, you know, that's kind of, to your point, there can be bad Facebook groups, and I haven't run across a lot of bad Jeep groups, at all. So, you know, only get good things to say about them.
Yeah. It's a great community. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to do this, this podcast was I got to do something for something around here. There's nothing there. So I'm like, oh, I'll do something. And so it just takes one person to step up. And even though it's a little podcast compared to some of the big dogs out there, but I still have fun doing it. And I get to meet people like you and talk about normal stories or local stories, I should say, local stories, a local thing. So I think that you're, again, your seven slot posses on Facebook, you got different, one group, what's the main group page you can add people to? What's that one called?
Seven Slots Posse is kind of the main place where I would love people to go. I, like I said, not that I'm boasting about being at 5,000 friends, but I've got my own Kirk Ross page, which is me, which is like 1,600 family members that I never really post much about Jeeps on at all, because they're friends and coworkers that, you know, they aren't into the Jeep life. And then I said, years ago, I decided to start building. So out of the 5,000 people that are my friends on Rossi's Willis, if you're not a Jeep owner, you're probably not on that page. And that's really where I started Seven Slots Posse from, is I really invited about 400 of my closest Jeep confidants and friends. And I said, look, this is the page I want to build. I haven't even gotten around to inviting all my friends from Rossi's Willis, to the page. So, I don't really care how big we get. I really don't, because I'm not going to get biblical here, but David beat Goliath with one stone between the eyes. And I really could care less about how big we get. I'm more concerned about having great members and quality versus quantity. But if the quantity comes, we can do more. Mm-hmm. And that's the only reason I would want more members is mobilize. You know, you look at the fact that, a Jeep parade was put together for a veteran with many moving parts coming together to create something that made the news within 24 hours. You get some planning and you get some bandwidth and you get some people that want to volunteer, and we can do a lot for the local community here from a Jeep community standpoint. And that's taking what Dustin did and Twin Cities Jeep Group and Jeep enthusiasts, South Metro Jeep enthusiasts, you know, which I'm members of too. So, you know, yeah. Anyway, I'm not trying to PR them, but look, we're all in this together. There's not one Jeep group that should be trying to stand above the others. I don't believe in that. I believe we should all be helping each other. So.
I think we're doing it. I think I had a couple other good causes on. We're talking about the Crawl for the Cure, and unfortunately, that's not going to happen this year. But the Crawl was another great episode I talked about earlier that I didn't know was that big. And I'm excited to do it next year and be a part of it. I think it was going to be over my birthday weekend. So my birthday weekend, I could do whatever I want. So I was excited to do that.
Awesome. Well, and I will say that too, is that if I know that with COVID, you know, I wanted to do that 21 Jeep salute with, you know, maybe in front of a nursing home with the veterans from that nursing home, for example. Or a VA center, if there is a veteran that somebody's listening today that, you know, there's a family that, you know, has an ailing veteran, or maybe it's a family where, the mom is, or dad is at home with the kids and that husband or wife is off serving our country. And I would love to drive by and honor you with a blanket. So, you know, I don't have unlimited resources, but, if there's something special, and all veterans are special, but you know, I'm always into honoring people who have served.
So. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, thanks for doing that. It's great to hear that you're doing those things, and you have a great site on Facebook. So it's the Seven Slots Posse. Check that out, guys. Love to have you join up so you can kind of keep up what he's doing. You also can see his cool Jeep, which is always a bonus. I like the red color. My colors are black and red. I really wanted a red one. And my funny thing is, here's a little side story. My buddy Wade really wanted a black one, and I really wanted a red one. He bought a red one. I bought a black one. This is a Rubicon. I said, I'll trade you straight up.
There you go.
He said, no, that's okay. But anyhow, kind of really growing into my own, and I love to see yours too. It's an awesome looking rig.
Well, we'll have to get together someday and compare notes. And mine looks really small. So, you know, I one thing, I don't know if you guys were around. I think you were you part of the Canterbury deal where we spelled out the word Jeep?
I didn't make that one.
Okay, so I pull in there in my little CJ, and I pulled up next to a big Ruby, and I'm sitting talking next to this lady and her kids in the sunroof. They were out. This was during COVID, and I kind of looked around, and I'm like, man, this Jeep is really tiny. And then when we did the drone shot from up above, I saw my Jeep in the end of the E, the second E in the bottom corner, and I was like, wow. Now I'm a little more cognizant when I drive down the road of what little short wheelbase I'm driving on.
Well, they seem to get a little bit bigger every year. Before you know it, it's going to be a three-row SUV, you know.
Well, look at the Gladiator now. I mean, that's awesome. You know, you see the camping gear and the tents and the different mods that these guys are doing to the Gladiators. And you know, you either love or hate the Gladiator. I think a lot of people are loving it. I think it's growing on people. But I've seen some pretty tripped out Gladiators that, you know, if you want to do some overlanding, man. It's on my wish list, but I've seen some pretty cool things done with it. So,
well, I'm trying to talk my wife into getting one. So for herself.
Oh, nice. I hope she's listening.
I'm just kind of joking because I like my big truck, because I actually drove next to one. I was really surprised how small they are compared to a half ton pickup. I'm like, just the body. I'm like, it feels like you'd be like in there like this. I'm a big fella. And when I drive my Jeep, I'm basically like this, you know. And he's on a video, guys. You guys are listening. You can't see, but I'm really kind of crunched in there. It's all the way back. I could probably take the front seat out if I wanted to. But I haven't sat in the Gladiator yet, so I don't know how big it feels from the inside. But I really like how spaced out I am in my half ton.
Yeah. Now, like, I've heard that they're very good for, you know, if you're going to do overlanding. I mean, I've heard really good things from a couple of guys that, you know, I've tried to interview them and get their opinions on them, and I've heard good things. And you know, I don't know what they run. I mean, I'm sure it probably between 35 and 75, depending on what tires and mods you get or what stock.
They'll take all the money you have.
Absolutely, and then you can take it to one of our great partners and that you have, and you can have them make it even bigger and better.
Yeah. I heard, this is a little stat I heard, is that the average F-150 buyer will spend $5,000 upgrading it.
Absolutely.
In talking to some of the guys who actually do the upgrades, you know, they're like, oh yeah, 25 to 30,000 isn't out of the question on like a 3/4 ton vehicle. I'm like, that much, huh? I hate to add up all of the upgrade parts that I've done, but I definitely probably eclipsed the value of what I paid for it already.
It's funny. You bring up upgrades and the cost of a Jeep, and I know we always joke about Jeep owners have no money, you know, or you know, the UPS guy pulls up and we run out and grab his leg because we're all excited about our Jeep parts coming. And, you know, I think back of some of the little parts and components that I needed to find. And over the years, I've taken time and I've kept a sheet. And I want to say, obviously, my uncle's Corvette motor didn't cost me anything because he gave it to me when he passed away. And, you know, I had a buddy that went through it that knew that engine very well, the 350 short block, and he rebuilt it for me. And I want to say I maybe have, I think the last time I looked, because I keep track, I've got a little tattered sheet somewhere around $3,600 into my Jeep, you know, and that's the, you know, the winch, the tub, the, you know, that's everything. So, you know, obviously it's a 20-year-old build, but, you know, I don't know what it's worth. You know, some people, I get the purists that'll come up at a show and go, oh, what'd you do to that CJ2A? You know, what do you got into that thing? And I'm like, I don't know, less than $4,000. They're like, no way. And I'm like, well, it's an old build. And, you know, I had a guy roll up at Fleet Farm the other day and said, is it for sale? And I said, no, there's no for sale sign in it. I said, that's probably going to get buried in this one. I said, that's not going to go anywhere. So not unless my wife makes me sell it, but I don't think
question.
That.
I've gotten that question a couple of times. Actually, I was in those on-ramps to the highway.
Where yep. You
two side-by-side.
Oh, the semaphores.
Yeah, one of those things.
Yeah, when you're getting on the freeway.
Waiting for the green light. A semi pulls up next to me, rolls down his window, goes, I've been looking for that exact Jeep. Is it for sale? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
He's like,
no, I know.
The window for it. It was pretty funny. I was made me feel good, but yeah, it's not for sale.
No, I the guy at Fleet Farm freaked me out though, because he goes, well, he says, I'd pay you $20,000-$25,000 for it. And I'm like, no. I said, it's not worth that. And, you know, I mean, to me, it's priceless because of all the history in it, but I have no clue what my Jeep would be worth if I was going to put it on the market. But, you know, I think it would be too hard for me to park. Although I did have a guy one day that at a car show, I had the hood up and my engine's not polished chrome or shiny or beautiful or anything. It's a 350 Chevy short block. I mean, it's just, you know, and he goes, well, I'd give you $3,500 just for those dash plates and the motor plates. And I said, you're serious? I said, I don't have that much into the Jeep. This was years back. And he goes, yeah. He says, oh, to have a 10296 dash plate, I mean, to have the 296 Jeep they made after, you know, in the first model year. I said, well, why would you want them? And he goes, well, just sell me the dash plates. And I'm like, why? And he goes, well, I want to throw them on a tub. And I'm an old CJ2A tub. And I said, no, you can't do that though. I said, it's not, I said, you can, but it's, you know, God's watching. And I said, you know, he, you know, it's kind of like putting, you know, a Rubicon sticker on my Willis, you know, it wouldn't be appropriate, you know? So we, although it was a tempting offer, I could not part with the plates. So that
he's
I could
trying
have
to make a period correct purist Jeep with non-purist parts, you know.
Right. And I, you
well,
know,
that doesn't
and
make
it,
sense.
No, at the end of the day, I mean, that's kind of why I didn't restore it. But, you know, but I thought that was a funny story that I had, you know, a guy was willing to pay $3,500 for three pieces of metal with, you know, 10296 on them. But, you know, some people will pay anything for antiques, you know, and mine is, that's kind of what it is. It's just, it's an antique. It's not perfect, you know, but.
Well, I love it. I think it's cool. I can't wait to see it again in person and really take a look at it. Last time I saw you, we were just driving next to each other for that Jeep parade back when everybody was really kind of super scared and we were getting out there by our, that was my first.
Which one were you, was that the one down in Burnsville where we were all alongside the frontage road?
This is where we started at the IKEA. I think is where I saw you.
Okay. Well, yeah, that, yeah. That, okay. That one. Yeah. I think it was the third one. I was having issues with my Holley and the carburetor and I had a bunch of junk in there. It was not idling at all. So I needed to part her.
I think during that Jeep parade, the first one I saw, yours is definitely the oldest. You win again, but there was either a CJ2 or a CJ5. It was a small Jeep. I want to say it was a CJ5. It was a black one that was just, it was built out. So if that guy's listening or everybody knows who that guy is, I think he had side pipes on it too.
Yep. And I met him. He's from Robbinsdale. And I apologize for not remembering your name. I think it was Dave. But anyway, that was the day that we were parked down in Burnsville near AAA. And I was having the issue with my carburetor and I didn't have the tools in the back to adjust it and get in there and mess around with it. But he pulled up next to me and we opened my hood and we were looking at it. He goes, yeah, she's definitely not getting gas the way she should. And I said, no, she's not. And he had his rig and that's the exact rig you're talking about. And I believe he's from Robbinsdale. He came all the way down for it. But yeah, he's got a beautiful rig. And he said that he sets off car alarms with his side pipes.
Yeah.
Whenever he drives by him, he says, I set off car alarms. I said, that's cool.
Well, if you know that guy and you're listening, or if you are that guy, reach out through my Facebook page. I want to talk to you about that, because I drove by and, you know, you could see a JL Rubicon any day of the week, but you see a Jeep like yours or that guy's, I want to know more about what went into it and what it's about, because it's cool. I mean, anybody can go out there and spend 40, 50 grand on a, you know, new JL Rubicon or JL whatever. And but I want to know more about the customized ones that are out there, what you all did over the years to get that look like that. So,
well, it's funny because mine's got a little cancer here and there, and it's not perfect. It's got some character, you know, here and there. There's some, you know, it's a hodgepodge of everything. And you know, I kind of, you know, I don't want to say I'm self-conscious about it, but I know it's not, you know, when I take it to a car show with my dad, it's more to spend time with my dad. It's not to go and win a beauty contest, because it's a pig's, you know, what do they say, an earring in a pig's ear, something like that. It's
lipstick on a
but
pig.
But right, yeah, lipstick on a pig. But it's a Jeep, and you know, it's, you know, years ago it saw lots of mudding, and I guess I got tired of cleaning mud out of everything. And you know, that
play with it, that's just fine with me. I think every Jeep owner knows who has a Jeep. They know exactly where every rust spot is and every little ding is at. And some people care. I think Brad, who I had on last week, there's not a straight panel on the CJ7 at all. And he's just like, it's for off-roading. It never goes in a high range. And he's very proud of that fact. So that's built just for that. Like he said one time, I had to weld up the frame here and there because I cracked the frame. I don't care. Let's weld it all up. It's just for off-roading. My Jeep isn't there. Mine's a little closer to having some fun on the weekends while just cruising. And so I kind of try to keep it looking nice. But I do have a rust spot I had to fix right in my hood. So every time I'm driving it, I can see this hole, which I did a great job the first time. Then I tried improving it, and I did a terrible job the second time. So I see this thing in my hood. I was showing my brother-in-law. I was talking to him. He goes, "Oh, you want to see the where I got hit by hail?" His Jeep is pretty mint. So he goes, "Here's the three hail spots on my Jeep that reminds me of that day that I got stuck in a hailstorm with it." And I'm like, "Oh, yeah." Even the most mint TJ I've ever seen in my life, it still has some dents in it. You know.
Yeah. Well, if it doesn't have a little character, then it's really not. It's really not. I look at it as a, you know, if an eagle never leaves the wing, leaves the nest to soar. It's kind of like a Jeep that, you know, it's nothing against having a daily driver and driving it down the freeway, because it's, you know, I go out for country drives all the time. First dirt road I can get on, I'm on, you know, but, you know, they're made for that. That's what they're, but I think I was going to say something. You brought up something that was, I lost my train of thought now, but you talked about the hole in the roof. Oh, like right now. You know, the challenge is with a 350 short block and a little CJ2A frame. You know, I had an old radiator that we built, an old GM radiator, copper radiator that we just hodge. Because back 20 some years ago, you didn't have the builds going on maybe like we do today, where you could get a stock radiator. Well, my radiator, when I was doing these parades, was getting overheated. So I was puking antifreeze and she was getting warm because I was sitting and idling. And I'm like, man, I got to go through this radiator. So I went through the radiator. I re-welded it. I re-soldered it. I got everything, pressure tested it. And sure enough, once I fixed all these leaks, then I was starting to spew leaks and other fins on the radiator. So now I put a brand new Northern radiator, painted it black, got it in there, went to rev up the engine, thought I had proper clearance, but with the big 350 short block, it sucked my old plastic fan right into the radiator and put a nice big gash in it. It didn't hurt it. It's not leaking, but I had to go put a new fan in. And then I decided, well, you know, I probably should put a shroud in it. Well, try to find a shroud for a 350 short block that fits into a little CJ2A frame. So this weekend I'm going to go make my own shroud, because I can do it and I know how to do it, but it's like, it gets a little warm. You know, I think she runs about 190, 195 all the time, which isn't bad, but anyway, that's one thing about where I'm going with that is when you have a hodgepodge of a Jeep, you know, finding parts when you build something that you throw a bunch of things together, they're not always easily accessible. So.
Well, I'm glad you did what you did. So
that's fun.
But well, I'm gonna close here, and I want to thank you for being on. It's been great, and we want to hear more about the things that are coming up. So if you guys want to follow him on Seven Slots Posse, follow Kirk on there, and then also can hear about the things that are going on with his Jeep community, and join up and be a part of it. So thanks again.
I really appreciate it, Mitch. You're a great guy and good family guy, and I love your passion for off-roading and Jeeps, and I'm honored to be here. And like you said, if you guys, I'm looking to just build more and more friendships. So, you know, if you guys want to start getting together and figuring out ways that we can help the community, it doesn't have to just be veteran centric. You know, it can be the Ronald McDonald House for Jeep rides or whatever. I know COVID puts a big cramp in what we're trying to do, and I can't wait for it to go away. But anyway, yeah, me too. So anyway, thanks again, Mitch. I appreciate it.
Thank you. We'll talk soon.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Hey, gang. Thanks for listening to the Crossroad Off-Road Podcast brought to you by Motors & More Jeeps in Brainerd, Minnesota. Go online and check them out.